Welcome to the Grace Vineyard Podcast, where we are building growing communities of worshipers who are becoming like Christ, empowered to do His work. We hope you enjoy this message.
We are going through this section of Scripture where you learn about the armor of God, and we're going to talk today about one piece called the helmet of salvation. We've been going through the pieces that are mentioned. We're going to read the whole passage. My goal for the end of this series is that all of you that have been with us will have the images and the ideas of the armor and what they mean in your head. So let me pray and we'll dive in. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your word. We want to learn from you. We want to encounter you. We want to grow in you. Speak to us right now, please. Transform our hearts even more. And give us more insight and power to fight the good fight of the faith and to stand even when the enemy attacks us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the scripture we've been reading. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, just one check. Sound man, are you happy with where I have my mic? Stephen? Because I can move it if you want. It's good right there? Okay, good. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against other people, not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Just pause there. That was speaking of spiritual powers, not people. When it says rulers, that doesn't mean governors, kings, presidents, senators. It means spiritual rulers. Against the authorities, powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand, stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, and all this. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, our topic today, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the picture is of a helmet. Everything we're going to talk about today, we've been talking about, these are all images that hold with them ideas. They all take place in your mind, and we're talking about your mind. So it's interesting that we're having this experience already. And we're going to spend some time understanding a little bit about the arena of the battle. The place of the battlefield that we encounter is primarily in our minds. So I'm going to talk a little bit of some philosophical views about what's going on in the mind, just a little bit. But tie it with Scripture, because this helmet of salvation, as we understand it, is a protection, the protection of the process of salvation to guard what goes on between our ears. That is the arena where most of the attacks of Satan come, in how you think, how you perceive. This is why it's so important when we preach about identity in Christ, because that's in the arena of the mind, your identity, how you perceive who you are and whether you have value or not, whether you're a son of God, a daughter of God, highly valued by the creator of the world, loved unconditionally, all those things. That's in the mind. 2 Corinthians 10, this highlights a little bit about how the battlefield is the mind. For we live in the world. Although we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. These are strongholds in the mind. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge that's in the mind of God. And we take captive every thought, mind again, to make it obedient to Christ. Listen to 1 Timothy 4 in the New Living Translation. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times some will turn away from the true faith. Just pause. Our overall theme is fighting the good fight of the faith. Some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings. That's in the arena of the mind, that come from demons. There's a real spiritual arena. There really is. And if you don't know it, then the devil's doing a good job. Because he operates best in invisibility. His best attack is to make you think that he doesn't even exist. Then he can sneak attack you really bad. So let's just take a moment. By the way, did you got a little handout when you walked in? That's helpful. You didn't. If there's an usher person, run and get some and give one to Susan Frankie for sure. And all these hands that are up, because this would be helpful, I think. And look, so hands are up, they'll come to you. So here's what I'm going to use for thinking about what the mind is. And this comes a lot from Dallas Willard, one of my favorite philosophers and theologians. A good book, by the way, if you want to think about books to buy, Renovation of the Heart by Dallas Willard. Some of these concepts come from there. So the mind is the place where we have thoughts, images, ideas, and pondering or thinking about thoughts, images, and ideas. And I'm going to try to dial this up for us a little more. Just here's a little exercise for me. Would you please think of a cream-filled chocolate? In your minds right now, think of a cream-filled chocolate. It might be from See's Candy. It might be from Russell Stover that you picked up at CVS. It might be from a Whitman sampler. You got your cream-filled chocolate in your mind? What kind of cream? You got hazelnut? Chocolate? Coconut? No strawberry cream people? Who's a strawberry cream person? Okay, what kind of chocolate was it? Dark or milk? Could you taste it? Can you taste it in your mind? Okay, what is your emotion like as you're considering the chocolate? Someone said bliss. Anyone disgusted? Okay, so you just had a little exercise in something called the mind. In your mind, you have the ability to be conscious of something. You have a thought. And you've probably not spent a lot of time thinking about your thoughts, but also you can think about your thoughts. God has given you a mind. And in those thoughts, you will always have a feeling. Feelings never exist apart from a thought. They always are connected. And the feelings are one of two, either an attraction toward or repulsion against, away from. This is kind of simple philosophy, but it's helpful to understand the scriptures and the battle that we face and why we need the helmet of salvation. Listen to this quote from the book I recommended. The ultimate freedom we have as humans is the power to select what we allow or we require our minds to dwell on. You have the power as a human being to allow or require your mind to dwell on something. I just showed you by example You chose to dwell on a cream-filled chocolate, and you have the power to do that. You have thoughts in your mind all the time, and we'll get into it, but there's some attacks of Satan by introducing thoughts into your mind that you can or cannot dwell on, depending on what you choose, associated with the power of God to help you. This is some salvation. How you doing? Okay. Some more thoughts. The mind includes thoughts, the way we're conscious of things, including our memories, our perceptions, our beliefs, and our feelings about those thoughts. I just told you that there's thoughts and feelings associated. In addition, this is getting a step deeper, and this is where the battle really takes place. We have ideas, and we have images. When you saw the chocolate, that was an image. Images are always a concrete, real, physical thing. Ideas are impossible to completely define. Here's an idea: freedom. We all know something about freedom. You cannot specifically define it, but you feel it, and it's an idea that you live in all the time. You have beliefs about it and feelings about it. And advertisers use the concept of feeling to advertise muscle cars, right? Because it's universal. Now, more importantly, perhaps, is that your ideas are dramatically impacted by your culture and by your family of origin. The way you perceive reality is strongly influenced by our culture and by your family of origin. God designed the family perfectly. Because of sin, the family is very broken. In God's design, when you were a baby, you were supposed to be loved unconditionally, even before you were born. And you were supposed to be very safe. If you did not receive unconditional love, but it seemed that you had to somehow work to get love from your parents, then your idea of yourself has been damaged, ultimately by sin. See, when you are loved unconditionally, it's developed in you that you have infinite worth before God. And your experience of your parents will ultimately result in your experience of life. You will know that you were loved unconditionally. If you know that as your identity, you will withstand almost any attack of Satan. If you don't know that you are loved unconditionally, you're going to go through life probably doing one of two things. Either internally living in shame, which means something must be wrong with me because I'm not loved. Or externally blame. Something must be wrong with you. Do you see that? If you are unsafe, especially because of trauma, especially because of some form of abuse, you perceive that you are not safe in God's kingdom. You'll have a couple responses. Externally, you'll find yourself trying to control everything because you're not safe because God's not safe. Or you will just withdraw and hide, fight or flight. That's really simple thinking. Love, safety. No love, either blame or shame. No safety, either control or withdraw. Kind of the whole psychological system in about four steps. It's much more complicated than that, but that helps. And if you know that, then you can also see how Satan's been attacking you in your life. Now, salvation brings healing to the soul that solves all of those issues I just briefly described. How you doing? Okay. when I'm wearing the helmet of salvation, I know that I am loved unconditionally by my God. And I know that I'm ultimately safe because of this phrase, fear not, I am with you. And just let me just dial up another thought I don't think I mentioned quite clearly enough. Images, I said, sort of represent ideas. In fact, our whole talk right now is using images, right? We have the images of a warrior's belt, and it represents the idea of truth. We have the image of a breastplate, a warrior's breastplate, a soldier's breastplate. It represents righteousness. We have the image of shoes that represent the gospel of peace. Remember all this? We have the image of a shield that represents faith that makes us endure. And we have the image of a helmet of salvation. We're going to have the image of a sword coming up that represents the word of God actively. So images are important. The ultimate image, because Jesus understands communication really well. He's, by the way, if you don't know Jesus or you don't know much about him, I can tell you this. He's the smartest guy in the room. Smartest guy that ever lived. Understands marketing and communication better than anyone. And he took an image that the Roman government had to instill fear and control over the citizenship and repurposed it to mean something else. The biggest, best-known image in the world is the cross. And now when we think of the cross, we think of love, sacrifice, forgiveness, salvation. And when you are saved, you can just bring to your mind the image of the cross and find tremendous healing for your whole person by meditating on the ideas that are associated with that image. Isn't that fascinating? And Jesus knew that. You see, anywhere in the world, if there's a crisis, the first thing you see is the Red Cross. What does that mean? Someone's come to help. Someone's come to bring food where there's drought. Someone's come to bring medical help. The Red Cross is here. Isn't that amazing? God's so smart. Okay. Now, I said the ideas and images are the primary focus of Satan's attacks. Look at one of the first written about attacks in Genesis chapter 3, the first sin. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." There's an image, by the way, and an idea. Image is fruit and a tree, and some ideas about it. Now, Satan's going to come and distort the image and the idea. And this is what he does in you and my, in me, in our minds, all the time. "You will not surely die," said the serpent to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye. So she's contemplating in her mind. She's got a concrete thought about an abstract idea. Is God good or is he lying to me? Is the thing that he said, don't do it, actually the thing that I want? Let me think about it. Oh, it looks good. Fruit looks like it probably tastes pretty good. I wonder if you'd like to bite into that. And then an idea, oh, God's been holding out because he's got something that he doesn't want me to share, and if I taste it, I'll be like him, and I can control my destiny. I'll be in charge. I think I'll eat it. She and her husband, who was with her, ate the fruit that was forbidden. Now, I don't care if this is for those of you that are like, well, I think that's just a, you know, a literary device. Okay, fine. Well, I think it's real fruit. Okay, fine. I don't care. Either way, God said, don't do that. And they said, I don't trust God. And they did it. Now, in your life, There are things that God said, don't do this. And there's an idea that comes to you that says, you ought to do that. You're going to really like it. Hello? This is how all temptation works. And you either believe God or you believe the lie. If you have the helmet of salvation on, because your mind is being renewed, you take that thought that was a lie captive and bring it under the knowledge of God, and you won't sin, and you won't die from it. How you doing? Okay, we'll keep going. Our thought life needs salvation. When our thinking is changed, our whole life is changed. Listen to Galatians 5:24 in the New Living Translation. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross. Again, let me just dial up. There's an image and an idea. The cross means death to one thing followed by resurrected life. I picture the cross, and I picture my old sinful nature nailed to it. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Spirit, let us follow. This is present tense now. Past tense, nailed to the cross, present tense. Let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So there's the event of salvation. I believed in Jesus and his death on the cross. My sins were forgiven. My old nature was nailed to the cross. Done in the past. But there's ongoing process. See, that was putting on the helmet of salvation. When you come to Jesus in faith and his work on the cross, followed by his work in the resurrection. The process, following the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now I'm wearing the helmet. So you need to put it on and wear it today. My mind being renewed. So we were saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. We will be saved from the presence of sin. Salvation's a long process. It's an event. It's an ongoing process. And it's a future hope. I was saved from the penalty of sin. I am not going to suffer the penalty of sin. That penalty was put on Jesus on the cross, and I will never pay that price. He paid it for me because I put my faith in him. He said, it's all yours. What I've done is as if you did it. You are free from the penalty of sin, which is a great weight lifted off my shoulders. But I also see that my sins are nailed to the cross and I don't have to live under their power today. I'm not a victim of my desires anymore because I've got the Spirit of Christ living in me. And because he rose from the dead, I too have risen to a new way of living, and I'm not subject to the power of sin in my life right now. And I'm wearing the helmet of salvation to walk this out, renewing my thinking. And in the future, there won't even be the presence of sin because Jesus is going to return and Satan's going to be thrown into an abyss and all of hell's powers and all of sin's intrigues are going to be gone. Wow, I was saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. That was good. We cooperate. Ooh, salvation is God's work, but we cooperate in it by letting God change our thinking. Helmet of salvation. Colossians 3:8, New Living Translation again. But now, it's time to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior and slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old evil nature and its wicked deeds. In its place, you have clothed yourself with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ. Has anyone discovered this process? I mean, it was great the day you were saved, but a week later when you learned a little bit more, it was even better. And a month later, when you'd learned quite a bit more and you were walking it out, it even got better. And 2 years later, it was pretty awesome. And 5 years later, like, you are walking on sunshine. It's so good. I think it's, well, Michelle and I, we're like connected on that, right? Ephesians 4, since you have heard all about him and have learned the truth, that's a mind thing, that is in Jesus, throw off your old nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through. Let the church say amen. That's the truth. Full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the helmet of salvation to guard your thought life. You must display a new nature because you're a new person, created in God's likeness, righteousness, holiness, and truth. So, it's worth noting, in fact, philosophers will argue about this, where is the mind? Is it in your brain, the gray matter? Or is it completely spiritual? Like if the gray matter dies, is there still a spirit that has a mind? Oh, now you got all deep, Ron. People argue about it. I think people wrote papers about that when I was at the cognitive science department at UC San Diego. I remember one of the professors, write a paper, where's the mind, physical or spiritual? I'd say it's both in some combination that I don't completely understand. But I do know this, people that die and have a near-death experience and their body leaves, their soul leaves the body, are still thinking. And they come back and talk about it. But I also know this, when you're in your body and your brain's not working, it does mess with your thinking. So, right? So, in fact, many of us in this room are probably on meds to help us with our thinking because the physical part needs some help. And that's fine. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned all that. I got too confused. It's just part of the reality. Okay, so here's a scripture. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. There's physical. And breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. That's non-physical. You're both, your body and your spirit. And the man became a living being. So here's a picture that I put together a while back, and I just grabbed it. Do you have that graphic of sort of the, what is it called, the diagram of the soul? Is that coming up? It's kind of like a cloud thing. That one, yeah. So this is just a concept. It's not going to go that far for you, but it might help. See those? Those are speakers on the upper left and right. They're pumping out info. On the physical side, it's actually a physical speaker. On the other side, the spiritual realm, it's spiritual things. You have in your soul, here's one idea of a soul. You have a mind, you have the ability to make decisions, and you have feelings. I was combining our feelings and our thoughts together in the mind so we could maybe collapse that to two ideas. But either way, these parts of you are impacted by the input that's coming to you. You are literally hearing things, but you're also hearing things spiritually. So literally physically, but literally spiritually as well. Ideas that are injected to you. That's what Eve experienced the way you do it when a thought comes and says, does God really mean that you should wait till marriage? I mean, you love her and you know you want to get in bed with her. Does God really mean you shouldn't do that? Did I just step on someone's toes? Let me think about a little bit of premarital sex. Looks like it'd be good. Looks like it would taste good in every sense of the word. Probably make me a more real, complete person. Maybe make me a little bit more like God. It's like the echo of the fruit, right? That's just one example. Okay, that idea came to you not through your ear, but through a spiritual realm. You live in a world where God can speak to you spiritually and where Satan can speak to you spiritually. And it's good to know that, so that you put on a helmet of salvation and do some filtering of those thoughts. So I often say this, think about what you think about and don't believe everything you think. Now, I know so many people that go through life never thinking about what they think about. And they believe everything they think. And I'm telling you, there are thoughts that come to your mind that you think about that were from Satan, and they're a lie. So you ought to think about them and not believe them. And in so doing, you put on the helmet of salvation. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. And when he says this world, he means this present evil age, which is influenced by the ruler of the air, Satan himself, as the Bible describes it. Don't follow the customs, the cultures, the ideas, the traditions. I guess Taylor Swift has a new album out. There's probably some ideas that are related to the world. I haven't heard it, but I'm just thinking that there's like an explicit version and a non-explicit version. Hello? Instead, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This has everything to do with what Kent taught us last week. Remember that? Letting God out of the box that you created for him by your wrong thinking. And it all went back to the Word of God. I've experienced some of this. So I told you, just because of the weekend, that 6 years ago I was in an ambulance on the way to the hospital thinking I would be dead soon. Now, because I've had, at least to some degree, my mind renewed by the Word of God, my experience in that ambulance, my first initial experience, I remember it well, I realized, oh, I'm probably going to die. My experience was, this is going to be awesome. This is really, here's what I said. I might have said it out loud, at least in my mind. I said, do I get to see you today, Jesus? Face to face, because I know that Jesus said, those who believe in my word will never see death. When it comes time for me to die, I'm just going to walk out of this room into the next room, and I'm going to see Jesus, and I'm going to be in the presence of unfettered love and presence of God. I was like, ooh, this is going to be a great day. I cannot wait. And then I went, oh, I'm married and I have kids. They might want me to stay. This was exactly my thought process. That is the result of the helmet of salvation. I didn't have fear at that at all. Later on, when my body was spazzing out and I couldn't stand and I didn't know how much paralysis there would be, and I thought, I wonder if I'll never play the piano again. I wonder if I'll ever walk again. Do you remember when I came in here with a walker? When I thought that, here's the thought that followed it. My power is perfected in your weakness. And I went, oh, Lord, well, if you choose to allow me to be very disabled for the rest of my life, I know this, you're about to do something awesome. Because you said, my power, his, is perfected in your weakness. I've never been this weak in my life, so something good's probably going to happen. And I can tell you, that's a really good way to live when you feel that way. I had some fears, but it was overridden by truth that was in my mind because I had the helmet of salvation on. And now check this out. I'm very blessed to have a combination of I had a loving family, my family of origin, and I've grown up around God and his word and the church and the Holy Spirit's presence. So I know quite well that I'm unconditionally loved. That before God, I have infinite worth, not because of anything I've done, because it's unconditional, but he loves me. My Father in heaven adores me. He is so into me. And that's the truth. The Bible says so. And I know it. And I also know I'm ultimately safe. Because I'm in the kingdom of God. And he says, Ron,
do not fear, I am with you. If you go through the fire, I'll be with you. If you go through the flood, I will be with you. In fact, I'll put a banquet in the presence of your enemies. So fear no evil. If you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, don't even fear, because I'm going to be right by your side. I know that's true. Because of the process of salvation that's renewing my mind day by day. Make sense? So, we have also, regarding that image of the inputs, we have available to us the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, to each, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, distinguishing between spirits. That's the ability to identify the spirit behind something. Is it from God? Is it from my human spirit? Is it from hell? When you can know that, you can decide what to do with the idea or the image or the thought that's found its way in between your ears. Some of it, thoughts come and you say, I know you are alive from hell. Get out of my mind right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. Stay away. And then you turn to God and say, Lord, there were some thoughts there that were not from you. Please fill my mind with your thoughts. Listen to this in Hebrews. It says you can develop that skill. If anyone who lives on milk, picture of a baby that's just sucking on some milk, still an infant, it's not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature. You've been growing in Christ. You've been learning how to live in his kingdom. You've been in fellowship with other Christians. You've been in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You have a prayer life. You've opened the Bible quite a few times, and you're beginning to know truth. You're eating solid food. It says, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You can do that. And that's the process of wearing the helmet of salvation. So here's some thoughts. Test your thoughts by comparing them to the truth of God's word. You can't do that if you don't know the truth of God's word. So you might want to get in the word, unless you'd like to be a victim of Satan. But if you don't think that's a good plan, spend time in the word so that you can distinguish truth from lies. Is it, I hear bells, am I done? Or does that mean dinner's ready? Okay, the word. Secondly, test your thoughts by discussing your thoughts with spiritually mature believers. That's the family of God. I'm giving you three things here. The word, the family, and the Holy Spirit. Test your thoughts by asking the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom. So let me just say, your mind is a major place of satanic attack. Let salvation affect your thinking. Bring your mind under the lordship of Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation. Renewing your mind. When you do, you will experience unconditional love and complete safety. So you'll know worth. You won't live in shame. You won't live in blame. You'll know security. You won't have to control, and you won't have to hide, because you're living in the renewing of the mind. So let's stand up together and step into some ministry time. What happens at a time like this, people, is some of you probably have been impacted by some of the things we've read and said, and some of you are being touched by the presence of the living God right now. And there can be some of this process of salvation. Salvation means deliverance. It also means healing. It means rescue. There is some healing available. And as I was praying for what we would do at the end of this talk, I had the thought that maybe some of you in this room realized when I was speaking
that you have shame. That there may be some of you that cannot look in a mirror at your eyes and feel safe and satisfied that you are loved by God. That can come from your culture, from your family of origin, trauma that happened to you long ago that God would like to heal, that is, bring salvation, and that he would like to bring healing to your mind, the way you perceive yourself, the ideas, the thoughts that you think about. Remember, think about what you think about and don't believe everything you think. Instead, think about what you think about and submit it to the truth of God's word and reality, okay? So if you're here and you know you still have issues with feeling shame and an inability to fully receive God's love, we want to pray over you and see maybe the Holy Spirit today will impart to you truth that will bring salvation to your way of thinking and perceiving, and healing, at least some portion of that. It's often a long process, let me just say that. Especially if you had severe trauma, you probably need to see a therapist. And get a therapist that knows God and knows truth and walk you through healing of your soul. It's a real issue in our culture all over the place. And it's messing up people's ability to be in relationship with God and with other people. Do you understand me? With family, with friends, with children, with husbands and wives, because of trauma that's affected the way we think. We need salvation to our mind. We want to at least pray over you today, and maybe there's more long-term stuff you'll do. Some of you know that when you get in certain situations, you feel uncomfortable, so you step into control. You try to manipulate circumstances and people so that you'll feel safe. You hear me say those words and you go, yep, that's me. That's not God's plan for your life. And it's not peaceful. It's not peaceful for you, and it's not peaceful for the people in your life. We can start the process with some prayer today. We can continue the process as we renew our minds in the future. But we'd love to pray for you today for that. Some of you, you get in tense situations and you turn into a roly-poly bug. You curl up with armor around yourself, hiding from everyone because you're not safe. In God's kingdom, you're safe. You can open up yourselves to him, and there are some people that you can open yourselves up to and begin living a new life by the renewing of your mind and your spirit. We'd love to pray for that as well. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to come into this place in a powerful way as we pray for each other. Your kingdom come and your will be done right now. Holy Spirit, rest on this congregation of people. Rest. So what's going to happen now is the worship band's going to play a little bit more intimate worship music. They're going to sing, pray that you can follow in if you want. You can spend time alone with the Lord right now. You can come and pray. You can pray in your seats. Prayer is powerful. This will go on for a while. And as you're done, you'll leave. There's no like kind of hard time. Everyone go. We're just lingering in this atmosphere of love and safety. I'm going to say a prayer and stop talking, and we'll just do what I just said, okay? Actually, I'm going to bless you, like sort of a prayer blessing. May the Lord God bless you. May the Lord God keep you safe in his arms of love, under the authority of his kingdom where he rules and reigns. May the Lord God keep you and protect you. And may the Lord God lift up his countenance upon you and give you rest for your souls. The Lord bless you and strengthen you. The Lord heal you and save you and send you with healing for others.
be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. This weekly podcast is available on our website, gracevcf.org, where you can learn more about Grace Vineyard and our vision for people everywhere to know and worship God.